Welcome in on a Sunday morning, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Not any Sunday morning, Sunday, September 11th, 2022, but the 22 part is not the part we're talking about here. September 11th, obviously a somber day and really a historic day for our country for all of the wrong reasons, but it just turned out this way that me and obviously Chris Brochu protecting military families right here on 104.5, but we get to be on the radio for the next hour. And Chris, we decided to take this opportunity for at least the first part of this show to just kind of have a conversation about 9/11. We know people here in Jacksonville are listening to this station, and we'll get updates about 9/11 all day throughout the day on the station. But we have this opportunity and we can just have a conversation about it. And I think it's going to be important.
Absolutely, Casey. Good morning. You know, we think as, you know, civilians that 9/11, a conversation about 9/11 is really warranted and important because we need to show our support for our military families. That's what this show is all about, right? Informing military families about their rights, informing military families about their military benefits. And it is an interesting thing for two civilians to be talking about 9/11. And we really do, we were talking about it before the show, and we really do think that where our country is right now, it's never been more important to think about how we united, you know, after this tragic event. So with that being said, if you have any questions about your military benefits or legal rights, obviously we're going to talk about some of those on the second half of the show. But just to get into remembering those families that lost a loved one in 9/11 and then those who lost a family member that served in Afghanistan or Iraq, we want to talk about that. Casey and I were sharing sort of our first memories of 9/11 and, you know, to think back to that time period when, you know, the world seemed kind of pure, if you will. I mean, that's for our generation, really the first global conflict that I remember. I don't know about you.
Absolutely.
So it is interesting to think about where our country is and how divided we seem right now, even though we're really, you know, all one and the same. And we need to remember that, right? I mean, we need to remember the unification that we had after, you know, these terrorists, and that's what they were, right? These terrorists blew up, you know, the Pentagon,
yeah,
World Trade Centers, and then obviously Flight 93, the heroes on that flight as well. So what's your earliest memory of learning about 9/11? How's it it impacted your life? I mean, obviously every year this seems to feel like it was, you know, a lifetime ago, but also just yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, if by the way, if you've never seen the video version of the show, which we get from Justin at Nova Productions, it's on Chris's website, brochulaw.com. But if you don't listen to ESPN 690 or you don't watch the stream, I'm 24. So if you quickly do the math, or I'm 25, holy cow, should learn my age, right? I was young at the time, but I'll tell you the part of it that I understand later in life. I was the thing I remember is I got picked up early from daycare by someone that wasn't my mom. So I was like, you know, stranger danger, what are we doing here? And then my mom picked me up from there. But I lived in Indiana at the time, which where I lived in Indiana was basically Chicago. So what I didn't understand at the time, but I understand now, is that people thought that Chicago, nobody knew what was going on, right? So people thought that Chicago might have been a target, if you will, and my dad worked in Chicago. So my mom was terrified. I didn't understand that until later when I understand what was happening, right? So I do remember that. And then the other thing I found out years later is, as you remembered, the president at the time, George Bush, was in Sarasota, Florida. He was talking to a class. I forget the grade, but my friend, I ended up moving to Sarasota. My friend was actually at the school. So I do have two kind of connections to it in the very outside way. But yeah, that's what I remember. And then I always thought it was fascinating growing up in school is that we were learning about it, but we were also alive. That was weird for me because when you're in history class, for me at least, it was things that we weren't alive for. And then this thing was like, oh, you were alive. What do you remember? Type thing. So it's like, not that I was impacted in a way that obviously a lot of other people were, but I think it was something that you grew up with and it was like always more than a memory because it was real when it happened, if that makes any sense.
It does. I think that that is the part about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and 9/11 that are so just sort of life-altering, if you will, is that I've asked my grandparents about, you know, different historical events, and I love talking to some of my clients that were alive during different eras. And obviously, if a loved one was alive during World War II, Vietnam, the Cold War, you know, Desert Storm, those are all different areas. But for sort of the younger generation that maybe you know, and I include myself in this, maybe doesn't understand the gratitude that our earlier generations had for those military families because of the fact that we really have been sort of insulated, right? I mean, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were our generation's first exposure to a world conflict. And I think that what we learned as a country is that we need to support our military family members, whether they're in combat or they're back home. And I think our country has made some great improvements because, you know, we've got terrorism clients right now that are receiving or trying to receive benefits from the 9/11 Victim Fund. So the U.S. government set aside funds for the families that lost a loved one in 9/11. And then that rolled into a couple of iterations where if someone lost a loved one in a combat zone overseas in these particular regions that were funded by terrorists, they may have a terrorism claim. So we have those improvements. We also have the improvement of mental health and awareness of those subconcussive blows and sort of changing of brain chemistry. Those are super important areas that we didn't have prior to 9/11. And obviously, TSJLI is another major, major area. So anybody that served October 7th, 2001, TSJLI was enacted in December of 2005. But anybody that served from October 7th, 2001 through present day now has TSJLI available to them with compensation up to $100,000. And again, TSJLI is, if you're paying SGLI premiums, TSJLI is the traumatic injury rider. And if you're in a traumatic event on duty or off duty that resulted in a qualifying loss or a medical condition that is under this statute, right? Loss of limb, loss of sensory, sensory loss, limb salvage, burns, coma, 15-day inpatient hospitalization, a surgery that required assistance for ADL activities of daily living. These are all things that derived from essentially 9/11, because 9/11 led to us going into combat in Afghanistan, Iraq. And although this is absolutely probably if not the gravest, one of the gravest tragedies in American history on U.S. soil, obviously we have a number of others. Pearl Harbor obviously comes to mind, but for a different generation, it is at least an improvement to see some of the regulations and laws that have improved the lives of military families. It doesn't make up for the loss of life or the loss of the ability to live their life. Mm-hmm. But I am hopeful that we are recognizing as a society how important it is to take care of our military families.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously what you do every day is you interact with these people that went into a situation that they might not have if 9/11 never took place. Right. I mean, again, this is coming from like a young point of view, and I know you were older than me at the time, but as far as I understand it, obviously it changed a lot of things, but this made people who may not have wanted to go into the military go in and become in a situation now where they might be out of the military and they might need your assistance. So I just think, how often do you talk to people that either bring up 9/11, there's a connection there, you mentioned the victim fund, but how often does that come up in like your everyday work?
A lot. I think that a lot of Americans that were, you know, service age around 9/11 were compelled to join. And a lot of them joined with their friends, right? They joined the National Guard, or they joined, did their college and then rejoined, or they enlisted after high school. It really was, in my opinion, probably one of the times that comes to mind where, I mean, everybody is representing America, you know, and I love that. Like, there is nothing that I love more than supporting American businesses, than supporting, you know, our service members and our military families. And I think that was a time period when everybody rallied together and said, you know what, we got to go after these bad guys. And, you know, we just united as a country. And where we're at now as a country, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care if you think that, you know, America is, in my opinion, and I disagree with this, some people think, you know, America is not what it once was. I completely disagree with that. I think that we have some issues with people not being able to have a conversation, right? I think in the past we had people were able to disagree about things without getting their feelings hurt or arguing on Facebook. And now we just see, literally, that's all we see on social media, people arguing their positions. Nobody will come to the table and, you know, listen to what the other person has to say. So I think that's where I find myself really encouraging people to think about where we're at as a society and go back to that era of, just because you disagree with somebody's political view or position does not mean that you have to hate them or defriend them on Facebook, or just because someone in your political party is doing something improper doesn't mean that you now turn around and point the finger and say, well, look what they're doing. I mean, I think if we could all just say objectively, yeah, that type of behavior is not something we're going to tolerate, and this type of behavior on the other side of the aisle is not something we're going to tolerate, I think just holding our politicians and our society to higher standard, I think would help us kind of close that gap a little bit, because we are, I mean, you can feel it, right? I mean, you can feel, as someone who enjoys world history and politics, I love talking to my family and friends about it, and you can sort of feel the tension no matter what side the person's on. And I don't know. I mean, do you experience that, Casey? Do you think that, again, no matter what side they're on, our country just seems a little bit divided at times? I mean, it seems like it more over the past, 10 years.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. There's definitely a fair amount of division, let's say, and not the math kind. I will say, just for my life, I guess, again, at the age I'm at, I understand it's important, but how I was raised in my family, like, it was all, like, sports. So, like, politics, it was like, oh, okay, like, the president is this person, and that's about as far as it could go. And I enjoyed kind of growing up that way, but then when I went to college, I realized, oh, everybody else doesn't. People, like, were, the way that I was watching sports and, like, understanding that, that's how people were doing politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I found that out, like, in college. So that's when I was like, oh, everybody's got, like, a different opinion. And again, to your point, just going back to Facebook, you brought it up. I got family members arguing with other family members. I'm like, can't we just, it's a picture of a baby. Like, right. Where did this come from? You know what I mean? Can't we just get along? So I'm with that completely, like the division and everything. And to the point, that you were making about how everyone was feeling after 9/11, by the way, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, protecting military families, but also talking 9/11 21 years ago. And at this point in time, at 6-something in the morning, everybody doing radio shows at this point in time, it was a normal show, and then it wasn't after a while, and that's why we are giving it the talk that it needs, and we're just having a conversation. We will get into a little more of the law part of some things Chris wants to talk about in the second half of the show, but we're going to keep this going. I want to go back to this, Chris, and it comes back to sports for me. Maybe that's why I work on ESPN 690 now, but you may or may not remember, but talking about the just everyone on the same page and the camaraderie part of it, when Osama bin Laden was killed, the Sunday Night Baseball was on. It was the Phillies and somebody. And I remember because I was watching, obviously, and like the whole crowd was just chanting USA. I was like, what is happening? This was before like Twitter, so you kind of had to be told things. And the broadcast was like, yeah, we're not sure what's happening. And then we found out what happened, but the crowd knew somehow. But I just kind of remember how like the whole stadium is just going nuts over this thing, has nothing to do with baseball. And I'm like, you wouldn't get that now for anything that's not sports. So that's kind of when you talk about everyone coming together, like that's what I think about that moment, even though that isn't necessarily what you're going for.
I remember that too. I mean, I remember being at one of my friend's houses in college at that time, and it was sort of breaking news. Mm-hmm. You know, Obama's coming on the air to talk about how he took down that scumbag pile of garbage. Not Obama. I'm talking about Osama bin Laden. But
that was kind of like, we didn't know.
No.
It just kind of like happened. That's why everyone's like, oh.
I think I remember hearing or reading somewhere that something big we had targeted terrorist, and there was some chatter that it could be him. But man, what news. And I do think that if we had news of something important of that nature, that our country would unify. I just think that part of the reason why it's so important now more than ever is you see the rest of the world. I mean, I was reading the other day, and this isn't a political show, but this is just, you know, again, part of the unification, I think, in my mind. You know, we're seeing Taiwan shoots down a Chinese drone. Now you have Russia and China and these other countries doing military exercises. Obviously, we don't want to head into another global conflict or, you know, World War III, but obviously it would be important for Americans to understand that our way of life is under threat, and we've got these global bullies that are sort of doing whatever they want, and we need to kind of prepare ourselves and as a country, unite, and particularly rally around those military families. So that's why I don't care what color, if you're red, blue, green, anywhere in between. I don't care what letters next to your name. The only thing I care about, do you support military families or are you against legislation that protects military families? That is all I care about. And if you are against military families, you don't have my support. I don't care who you are. I don't care what my personal political view is, because I'll tell you, as somebody that represents military families, the law does matter. The legislation does matter. Who we elect matters. The judges that we elect matter, right? So it is important for military families to come together and let's make sure that we support, you know, one another and unify our country. And I think one of the ways that we do that is making sure that our military families have the resources and benefits that they're owed.
Absolutely. And you said it there a second ago, Chris. You said it's not a political show, which is true. It's a law show. And for what you do, though, when you talk about politics, at least for the sake that we're in now, the conversation of war is not far behind. And if something were to happen, obviously, we don't know that to be true. But what that does for you is you get a lot busier. And unfortunately, if there was a situation like that, then you would have a lot more cases you'd have to deal with. And I know you love helping military families is what you do, but I assume you don't want to see another wartime situation. No. Where you have to help thousands and thousands of military families that have lost someone important to them.
No. Do I welcome helping a military family? Absolutely. But no, that is not. There are plenty of cases without going into another world conflict or global war. One of the things that I think is so important right now is we've actually got a number of domestic companies that are targeting our military families. So leaving, you know, foreign wars aside, leaving political conflict and other political turmoil aside, some of the things that we need to make sure our military families are aware of are some of the common scams or schemes that are against our military families that we need to spread the word about. A couple of these I have encountered through calls, and that's usually how I uncover these and can spread the word about them. I get someone that calls, either a military family or consumer, that says, "Hey, Chris, I got screwed by this company. Hey, this company is running this scam. Here's how they do it."
He's Chris Brochu, and I'm Casey Kurtz, and we are protecting military families on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We do it every Sunday, and we will do it again after the break. We continue on. Chris tells you about some of those companies that might be running a scam that you need to know about. He will give you all that information. And we continue to reflect and remember the events from September 11th, 2001. We remember that day. We talked a lot about it in the first part of the hour. So if you're just jumping in right now, WOKV.com, you can go back and listen. Also, a video version of the show. Thanks to Justin at Nova Productions hooking us up every single week with that. So you can go back and listen to that. And on the other side of the break, we talk about the scams Chris Brochu has seen and how he's going to help you try to avoid being scammed and what to do if you are scammed. We tell you that next. 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We'll be right back. The 7 o'clock hour, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, and we are protecting military families as we do every Sunday morning with the one and only Chris Brochu from Brochu Law. We do want to tell you the first segment of the show, which you can find WOKV.com, as well as a video version of the show, thanks to Justin at Nova Productions. You can find that on Chris's website, Chris's YouTube, Brochu Law. You will find what you're looking for. We did spend most of the first segment talking about 9/11 and just kind of having a conversation about it. Obviously, that is today if you are listening live here on WOKV. But you can go back and listen, as I was telling you, the stream or on WOKV.com, and you can kind of hear our conversation about it. We spent a good amount of time on it, but we do want to continue to do what we do every Sunday, and that is keep you protected from things that Chris can help you with, some potential scams he might have identified, which is what we're talking about today. But we just want to let you know that is there and available for you as we move along here on September 11th. Chris, before we get back into it, I know you want to talk about vehicles and some scams you've seen around that, extended warranties, all kinds of things. But we didn't do it off the top because we were talking about 9/11, but I do want you to tell the people that are just joining us about the Second Opinion and what you guys do at Brochu Law for military families.
Sure thing, Casey. The Second Opinion's available to military families and consumers and individuals that have been injured, particularly military families that have a question about their military benefits or potential legal rights. If a military family has been told, "Hey, this is the most you'll ever get," or whatever you are entitled to, and they disagree or they want to give us a call to figure out if they're entitled to more, they can give us a call. Our number is 904-201-1771, or email us at case, C-A-S-E, at brochulaw.com. Again, case, C-A-S-E, at brochulaw.com. And essentially what we do is we provide a free consultation. We review your military benefits and take a look to see if you're leaving anything else on the table. If we identify military benefits or a legal right that we may be able to assist with, and we decide to work together, we'd enter into a fee agreement. Our fee agreements are on a contingent fee basis. Plainly, there's no fee unless you win. and we never require any money advanced by military families. We advance all costs on behalf of military families and consumers. So with that being said, I've had a number of clients, one particularly military family, that's experienced an issue with a new vehicle. So the family purchased an expensive vehicle, and basically the transmission has gone twice on the vehicle. They have taken the vehicle in to have it repaired, and there's no resolution. So the family is really concerned. They've got young children. Both times that the car essentially failed were traveling on the highway. So they called and said, what do we do? You know, we think that there are laws in place that would give us a new vehicle or get us out of this unsafe vehicle, but we're getting the runaround. So one of the things that we look at, and every state governs this, the law is under Lemon Law. So that's the common one that you hear about, or the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. So basically that just means if you have a vehicle that is experiencing some issue and you believe that it is contributing to an unsafe use, or you know, it's not worth the value of that you purchased it, or the vehicle is unsafe, you are protected by law, and the manufacturer is given a certain number of tries to cure or to correct these issues. So, Casey, I don't know if you've heard of any of these types of issues. Have you ever heard of a new vehicle experiencing any defect or anything like that?
You know, when they're new, you know, you usually feel pretty good about it, that they're going to work, hence the new.
Right. And it is important to know that, you know, anytime you buy a vehicle, whether you buy the warranty or not, it does come with an express and implied warranty of merchantability. So when you buy something in the state of Florida, what that means is that the person selling it to you thinks that it's a good vehicle, right? And they're not selling you a pile of junk, right? That comes guaranteed with every purchase of a new vehicle. And what Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act does, or you know, commonly referred to as these lemon laws, depending on what state you live in, the manufacturer has a certain number of tries. And once they've had the ability to cure this defect, whether it be in some states, you know, they get X amount of attempts. In other states, the vehicle has to be in the shop for X amount of days. But once they've gotten to the point where the transmission can't be fixed, right? The engine can't be fixed. The other components, right? Electric components, or some of the tech that a lot of these new cars have, or at least the electric vehicles have, a certain type of tech that if it's not working, the vehicle seizes or could be dangerous.
It's funny you say that, actually. It just popped in my head, but I totally forgot this happened to me until you just said it. So the only new car I've ever had, I went to high school to pick up my diploma. Actually, I just graduated. And I was driving home, and the car was like, we ain't doing it no more. Like, we're not driving. So I was like, whoa, what's happening? You know what I mean? Scary moment. And right. Anyway, long story short, what ended up happening was the computer in the car wasn't talking to the car to tell the car to go. So, like, I ended up having to get it towed, and they fixed it. Like, everything was okay. But it just popped in my head that, like, that's the kind of stuff that it shouldn't happen, but at least in my case, it was fixed. But you're dealing with clients where it still doesn't work after it's supposedly fixed.
Right. Like for your issue, they tow it. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, Casey, you're good to go. Sorry, this was an issue that's covered under the warranty or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then you go to drive, and 6 months later,
exactly,
God knows where you're at, same thing happens.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, like you were saying, that, you know, you on the interstate with your family. Like, I was just on a back road in Palmetto, Florida. Like, so I wasn't as scared as I would be if I was on the interstate. You know what I mean? To your point.
Yeah. And some of the situations, you know, the AC doesn't work. The windows don't work. Yeah. The vehicle doesn't start. Right. So you go to turn on the vehicle and it won't engage. Right.
Yeah.
Those are issues related to some of the tech in these cars. Other issues are these, electric issues. So there are different electrical components. Obviously, there's some related to tech and some related to the vehicle use. But it really is kind of horrifying to think that that is what some of our consumers and military families are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And I would say equally as disheartening when this particular military family brought in the vehicle to have it checked out. Basically, they said, hey, everything's good. It's fixed, right?
Yeah.
They take it back on the road. Same thing happens. And now they're expected to drive that same vehicle again. They're still not doing the right thing, which is put this family in a safe vehicle.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do is we got to look to see, is this an issue that everybody is experiencing, or is this an individual experience? You look at some of these vehicles. I mean, they make so many of them that it could be, you know, okay, this certain one or subset, there's some manufacturing, you know, difference between this and the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So that's important to know. But if you're experiencing, you know, an ATV, a scooter, a RV, a vehicle, and you've noticed, you know, in some of these cases, there are Facebook groups dedicated to people True. That have had defective vehicles.
Yeah.
There are Facebook groups dedicated to fighting manufacturers. If you're in that group of people, I know it sounds daunting, but sometimes the only way to change an industry is to go after some of this bad conduct and to basically take them to the mat, right? You can't, if nobody's willing to fight, they're going to continue, you know, their tactics. And that goes for the flight company that I talked about. That goes for, you know, some of these companies that are doing these consumer scams. And part of the reason why they get away with it is they've got, an amount of money that is obviously big to most of us, right? Like $1,000. I don't want to lose $1,000. But to hire an attorney to file a lawsuit over $1,000, I mean, that company, they wouldn't take that serious, right? I mean, they're going to take it serious when they have a class action or something like that with 3,000 consumer complaints for $1,000. But it's just important to spread the word about that. Even if you feel like a company duped you or, you know, pulled the wool over your eyes, call someone. Let's spread the word so that other people don't get sucked into these same scams, and that we can kind of make sure to avoid some of these bad companies.
Absolutely. We have about 7 minutes or so, right, Chris? And I know this is something you could share your thoughts on all day, but give me the Cliff Notes version on how you feel about extended warranties being sold at car dealerships.
We talk about this, and it's probably important for me to chat about. I mean, there are a couple of things that if you ask my opinion, and I probably won't make many friends if you sell extended warranties or life insurance. You've heard me talk about AD&D. I think accidental death and dismemberment might be the biggest scam going. You, in some instances, are probably better off buying a Powerball ticket, even though they sell it to you as if it pays automatic. Not exactly the case.
And maybe, Powerball is only like $3.
And maybe I'm wrong about AD&D. If you know of a company that pays those regularly, please, you know, let me know and we can have a discussion about it. But that's my experience with the families I help. But extended warranties, also something that, in my opinion, I don't buy. And here's why. If it is a, if it's a company that stands by their warranty, right? If you have a vehicle manufacturer say, okay, Casey, you bought a, name a car, right? Name a car company. They're standing by their warranty, right? If I have a, you know, say an Apple phone and Apple says, hey, here's the warranty, and we are going to stand behind it. I believe in those warranties. I really do. I think that those provide the direct support that a consumer needs, because sometimes you really do need a warranty. But the ones that I really, really loathe and hate are the ones that are provided by these fly-by-night companies, because time and time and time again, what do I see? I see a family that relied on that extended warranty that goes beyond the manufacturer warranty, and they have a legitimate claim But there's every exclusion in the world, right? Your claim was filed on a Tuesday after 3 o'clock. We can't honor it. I mean, that's a stupid example, but it's literally that type of exclusion, and they just don't pay. And guess what? If you do file a lawsuit and you do get a win against them, well, they fold up like a lawn chair, and ABC extended warranty now becomes EFG extended warranty, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's just not, in my opinion, worth the money. I mean, I've seen extended warranties offered to me for $1,800. It's just not. I might as well roll my window down on the highway and throw the cash out. That's how I feel about it. Yeah. And that's not from having any experience with extended warranties as a consumer. That's from me as an attorney seeing how they handle claims that I assist my clients with. They just don't. I haven't had a single experience where the extended warranty company said, you know what? Yep, that's covered. You're right.
Yeah.
It's just not happening. And again, if you're an extended warranty company or you're a consumer that believes in it and you're like, hey, every time I need them, they pay out, let me know. I mean, if we've got a good company out there, it's probably important to spread the word about it. But just in my opinion, I haven't seen it. So the whole point I'm trying to get at here is we want to support the best companies that support our military, that treat our military fairly, and we want to avoid the companies that are deceptive, that do not treat our military families fairly. One of the ones I want to make our military families aware of that's occurring here in Florida, there is a real estate company out of South Florida that is offering, and I think there are a couple, they are offering usually retirees this one-time compensation between $500 and $5,000. And what they offer is you will get this money, and in exchange, you have to promise that when you sell your house or your loved ones, after you pass away, sell your house, you agree to list with them, right? Seems harmless, but here's what happens. They actually are filing a claim against your property, similar to a lien. And that way, when you go to refinance the property, or you go to pull equity out of the property, or God forbid, you go to sell the property and you don't want them to represent you, they have now basically secured this early exemption fee, which they charge these retirees. The one that I saw was just over $8,000. So the retiree that had called me, she's on a fixed income, and the company basically, she was trying to pull some equity out of her house. She's a Northeast Florida resident. And basically what the lender said was, well, you have this other lien. You've got to clear this $8,000 and pay it off before we can issue the equity. And she did. And we're investigating claims like this. This type of thing is about as greasy as it gets when it comes to companies trying to make money. The best thing to do before you ever accept money, sign an agreement, do anything like that, call an attorney, speak with an attorney. You've got to know what your legal rights are. And particularly when it's too good to be true, it probably is. And this is a scenario. The $800 or so that this woman received, it is not worth the over $8,000 that she ended up paying. And these companies know exactly what they're doing. We're going to continue on. I've got more examples of these companies that are scamming people. One of them right now that is common, if you're booking a flight. So I've had several flights canceled, and the airline industry claims that it's weather related, or, you know, they don't have enough personnel, or whatever the excuse is this week. So what a lot of people do is, instead of dealing with the airline directly, they purchase a ticket on one of these booking websites, right? Think of some of the booking websites. And again, we're investigating at least one of these companies, so we're not going to say who it is. We don't want to give them an opportunity to further their exploitation of these military families or further their harm against consumers. But what they're doing is, let's say you purchase a flight using this website, this type of booking website, this third party, and within 24 hours of booking, you cancel your flight, or your flight is canceled by the airline. What happens is, federal law, if you cancel within 24 hours of booking, federal law requires the airline to issue you 100% reimbursement for that payment. So if you pay $100 for a flight and you cancel that booking within 24 hours, federal law says the airline has to give you $100 back, right? What this company does is they cancel the flight, but they keep your refund. We are seeing this. The internet is littered with complaints of this similar conduct. And again, the flights are $300, $200, you know, $1,000, $2,000. They are these companies creating an entirely new revenue stream out of their illegal conduct. That's my opinion. I guess a court will have to decide if they agree with me. But please, please, please be aware of that. If you do not get a refund from that flight cancellation or from that company within 24 hours, that's a red flag. Like Casey and I always say, red flag, red flag, red flag. Casey, have you ever heard of one of these third-party booking sites? You know who I'm talking about, some of these companies?
I would say I am familiar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't particularly like to use them. What I do is I go to Google. For this, I use Incognito because I don't want them tracking to then jack the price up. But that's how I will buy my my flights. But a lot of people use these companies. And what the companies will do is they'll say, oh, don't worry, Casey. God forbid your flight's canceled. We'll get your refund for you. And then when your flight's canceled, they get the refund. They just forget to do that last part, which is refund you.
Yeah, the important part.
Right. The only part that matters.
That matters, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Absolutely. And if you have an extended warranty issue, you think Chris might be able to help you, you just listen to what he said, you're like, you know what? This guy could help me out. 904-201-1771, case@broshoelaw.com if you prefer email. And that's how you can get in contact with him. Chris, we got 2 minutes left.
This is a terrible transition.
Do it.
But if you get an extended warranty call, I probably can't assist you with that. But here's a type of call, if you live in Florida, I can assist you with. If you're getting annoying robocalls, robotechs, or communication from a company that you have no idea about, or you've never contacted before, and they do not have your prior express written consent to contact you, and you live in the state of Florida, or you received the communication while you're in the state of Florida, Florida now has a new law to help consumers fight back against these robocall companies, and you may be entitled to statutory damages of $500 for statutory violations, plus up to $1,500 for a willful violation if the company knew that they didn't have your prior express written consent. And then the company would also have to pay for your attorney's fees and costs if you were successful against them. So it's really important, if you're getting calls and texts from companies that you have no idea what they're trying to sell you, and you have no idea how they got your contact information, and you're on that, do not call list rather. Feel free to reach out. You may want to talk to an attorney about your rights, especially if you live in the state of Florida.
You really should. And by the way, there is another episode. You can find it, broshoelaw.com, broshoelaw on YouTube. Justin hooks us up with a video every single show, so you can go back and find it. And Chris spent a lot more time talking about it a few episodes ago. So look through. You can watch them all. You can watch that one. You can just watch them all. I think watch them all. I like that one the best. Chris, before we get out of here, again, it is September 11th, but that also means one thing for sports fans. NFL's back today.
Football is back.
You excited?
I am. I'm kind of one of those fans that I find it difficult to root for one team now. I grew up in Maine, so I'm obviously a Pats fan. I've lived in Jacksonville. My office is downtown, well, San Marco or South Bank. So, you know, obviously I love the Jags and obviously a huge Tom Brady fan. So I got to root for him too. So I think that covers about sixth of the league, but,
yeah.
Just kidding. Not that much, but yeah, I am excited. I think fall is a great time of the year, and you know, I don't think football Sundays gets any better. So
it doesn't. Shameless plug, Chris. I hate to do it, but I'm gonna do it because I already started doing it. As soon as I get done here, I got to run over to ESPN. We got a pregame show coming up, so join us for that on ESPN 690. Join us here next week, protecting military families with Chris Brochue. Continue to give us the information you need to know if you're a military family. But until next week, for Chris Brochue, I'm Casey Kurtz. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Casey.